So this week we get to talk about salvation. Woo! You guys ready? Buckle in. Here we go. This is directly from our website. This is what Whitewater corporately, your leaders, Whitewater Christian Church exists and believes in salvation. We believe that man willfully sinned against God and is consequently lost and without hope apart from Jesus. We believe salvation, the forgiveness of sin, is only by grace through the blood of Jesus. We just got done singing Nothing But the Blood, right? That makes sense, okay? In response to God's calling, the believer, that would be those of us, acts in faith by repentance, confession, baptism, and a transformed life. Grace and peace. You can go home. You know our belief on salvation now. Now own it, memorize it, so you can quote it back to those who are interested in Whitewater Christian Church. You think I'm joking? Oh, you want to hear more? Okay. So salvation is one of those tricky things. I know salvation, for those of us in the room that have taken part in this believing and then acts in faith and repentance and confession and baptism and leads a transformed life, I know that looks different for every single person in this room. Fun fact about me, I'm a pastor's kid. I was one of those jerks. You too. You're a jerk. We're in the club together, the Jerks. That's probably a punk band too, I'm sure. Anyway, I was a pastor's kid, and I had always been around church from birth. I'd just been in the church. My parents did an awesome job of not telling me what I had to believe, but the expectation was that I went to church with them, that I was there, and I was hearing the words, and I can honestly say that it wasn't any certain teaching or any certain memorable moment that I can remember that said, this is it. This is why I need Jesus. This is why I believe in Jesus. There wasn't any teaching that led me to that. There wasn't any like praise and worship set. Worship session that played on my heartstrings. There wasn't any, I'm sorry, you look disgusted. I apologize. Sorry, Sarah Jane. There wasn't any worship session that did this for me. There wasn't any emotional response at 11 years old for me. It wasn't this out of emotion thing. God came and just hit me, and I knew. And I remember asking my dad, and I said, Dad, what do I need to do? What does this look like? What does salvation look like? How do I get Jesus? And my dad was a very smart man. He put me off and said, we'll talk about it later. And I think his reaction to that was very much I want to make sure you're doing this for the right reasons kind of a reaction. And so I remember going to him throughout that week. And finally, I was just in tears because I was just like, Dad, what do I do? And then from 11 years old, I accepted Jesus. I knew I was broken for sin, even at 11 years old. And then a funny thing happens at 11. I accept Jesus. I believe that my conversion was real. I believe that what I went through and experienced, even though it wasn't as deep as it is now, was 100% real, was 100% salvation. Now, what I did with my life from 11 years old to about 28 years old is the same year I got baptized was the same year I discovered how awesome pornography was. Okay? And I let pornography run my life. Through 28 years old. I let pornography run my life as I got married and in my marriage. I let it distort how I saw my wife. I let it distort how I saw women. Sorry, women. I let it run my life, and I had this weird darkness within me, even though I had this salvation within me as well. And so that's my salvation story. And it doesn't look very glamorous, like once I, Jesus, I believe you. I need to be saved. And then I dive right back into this weird dark pool of awesomeness, which wasn't awesome at all. So others of you have a story where you've lived that life prior to coming to Jesus. And Jesus comes knocking on your door and Jesus says, hey, I love you. You are forgiven. Some of you, it happens just by riding in a car, listening to a children's program. In your, I don't know, how old were you, Craig? 40. Craig, for whatever reason, was listening to a children's program at 40 years old. Excuse me, Adventures in Odyssey. And Jesus spoke through that, and that transformed his life that very night in the car. So how does salvation work? What is salvation? Some of you have been sitting with us for a long time. Sitting. That's Wyoming. I could talk like that, right? Sitting. Some of you have been sitting with us for a long time. I'm just kidding. You guys don't sound like that. I'm from Nebraska. I can't really speak. Whatever. So some of you have been with us a long time, and some of you, your verdict is still out on who Jesus is, and that's okay. Because it won't be after today. He's got high hopes. So a book that was written by a professor of mine had this line in it about salvation. A friend of his once said, salvation is a simple plan for a very complex people. And I thought, that's 100% right. We are so complex that we have a hard time accepting what salvation truly is. We are so complex that we want to debate and fight with one another as we read through Scripture on, well, when did salvation really start for me? Or when did salvation really start for you? And so anytime I hear these arguments, I always want to go back to the simplicity and the purity of what Jesus had to say. Can I do that? Can I do that? Yes. Yes. So Jesus being the only way to the Father, as we talked about, right? Jesus paid for our sins. Do you guys know why Jesus did that? The old way of doing things in order to be right with God was to sacrifice animals. Okay? God demanded, required a payment of blood to be shed in order to be in right relationship with him. And so in the Old Testament, you see... I don't know why I looked at Matt when I said that. In the Old Testament, shalom. In the Old Testament, you see God's relationship with people, and you see God saying, this is what you need to do. If you've sinned in this way, you need to bring this kind of an animal, and you need to slit its throat, and this whole ritual of things that needed to happen to atone for the sin of man, okay? God changes this, and God decides this is done. This old covenant is going to be done. And all throughout the Old Testament, you have prophecies of who Jesus is. You hear prophecy of Jesus, the Son of God, coming and doing these things. And so you hit the New Testament, and Jesus hits the scene. Okay? Jesus comes as foretold in the Old Testament. Jesus walks on earth. Jesus comes as foretold in the Old Testament through Mary, his mother, the virgin birth. And so he comes and he takes the place of this sacrifice. And so he walks on earth for 33 years and teaches people how to live. Teaches people how to be grace. Teaches people how to be mercy. He heals the sick. He heals the blind. He raises the dead, and then he gets crucified for our sins. And that's why Jesus did what he did. That was God saying, you know what, I'm not going to require these sacrifices anymore. I am going to be the sacrifice for you so you and I can live in a right relationship. So you and I can be together as intended. So, great. What does that mean? So, Jesus, as he's walking on this earth, and he says things about salvation. We're going to read those things. There's four things that Jesus really says about salvation in different parts of Scripture. You guys ready? Hear the words of Jesus? All right. So salvation, the way you see it play out, is believe. Okay? That's where you got to start. You got to start with belief. And Jesus says it this way, "Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life." So what are you believing in? You're believing in what God did. You're believing in what God had created and his relationship that he desires to have with you. You're believing in the love that God has always had for you since the creation of man. You're believing the words that what Jesus says in the New Testament and what he calls you to. You're believing in the sacrifice that Jesus made on our behalf as he was on the cross. You're believing in what Jesus did after the cross when he rose from the dead, conquering death. That's what you are believing in. That's what you are ascribing to with this belief. And you are believing that life as you know it is going to change and should change as God makes you into his image. That's what you're believing in. Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life." That was in John 6:47. In Luke 13:5, and this is Jesus talking to different people, okay? And it's interesting because I think each section and each facet of people that Jesus talked to, he knew exactly where they were at and what they needed to hear. So some of you have some of these things down. Some of you may believe, okay? Some of you might have one or two of these or none of these down. But I think Jesus is talking to these people and hitting them right where they live at that certain time. So you have to believe. In Luke 13:5, Jesus says, "I tell you, no." Let me back up here. That's a little confusing. Why is Jesus telling them no? Okay, do you think that these Galatians were worse sinners than all the other Galileans? Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Or those 18 who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Repentance is an interesting thing. The word repentance in the Greek, where we get the word repentance, is from a word. Let me get nerdy on you, may I? Is it nerdy to do Greek? Matt? Greek is awesome. Stow is Star Wars. I love it. The word in the Greek is metanoeo. And repent, and metanoeo means to change one's mind. To change one's mind. Change the inner man or the woman, particularly with reference to the acceptance of the will of God. Repent. You have to change your mind. Much like I did when I was 11 years old, there was a change that happened in my mind where I recognized my own shortcoming with Christ. And my own shortcoming with Christ was what? My lack of acceptance of Jesus and who he was and what he said. So to repent, you need to change your mind. You need to change your mind about your current circumstances right now. You need to change your mind about probably some of the things that you accept to be beneficial to your life right now, which are probably the very unbeneficial things for you, much like pornography was for me. You need to repent. You need to have a change of mind about those things. You need to have a, what is it, come to Jesus moment with those things. So Jesus says, I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish. So you have to what? Believe and repent. Is that right? Help me out. Help me out. Other things that Jesus says is you have to confess. What are you confessing? Your deepest, darkest, inner yuck? Well, what does Jesus say? Jesus says in Matthew 10, 32 through 33, he says, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. So you need to confess. You need to confess who God is. You need to confess who Jesus is. You need to confess the good works of the Holy Spirit that we talked about that is living inside of you. The awesome thing about God is if you have God and you take him seriously, you can't help but to confess. You can't help but to have these conversations. I find it interesting when I have talks with those who could care less about who Jesus is and could care less about what faith is. My talks are generally very shallow. And I'm not saying all the time. I'm not saying that people that don't have Jesus aren't smart. Okay? I'm not saying that people that don't know Jesus aren't good people. Okay? I'm saying that my talks are very surface level. My talks are very, they don't want to enter in the arena. But when I talk to people who take Jesus seriously, there is a celebration of what God is doing. There is a celebration of who God is. There is a celebration of what God is doing in our lives. And it's not always a pretty celebration. Sometimes it's a painful celebration. Sometimes it's you guys going through some really tough stuff. Sometimes it's me going through some really tough stuff. I met with a few guys this week, and they said, how you doing? And I said, well, I'm not doing really well at all. Because I did a good job since last Sunday of winning, let me clean up the language here, the crappiest husband of the year award. And to be able to confess that to guys and to those that I'm around is awesome, much like Star Wars in Greek. And then to unpack that with these people that really want to know how I'm doing, and there are very few times that I'll lie to you. I try to lie to Caleb Hebert a lot. That dude can read you like a book. It's scary. I think I'm hiding stuff, and Caleb will come up and say, how you doing, man? I'm fine. Yeah? 5 minutes later, how you really doing, man? Caleb, I said, I'm fine. Want to go grab a coffee or a beer? Sure. How you really doing? Well, but the thing is God takes all of this stuff, this confession, this, and I watch confession happen with people who I love in Jesus and going through this transformation process. And they confess some of the garbagey parts of their life, and they confess some of the most high points of their life. And what are they confessing? They're confessing that Jesus, what Jesus did for them, is doing all of these things through them, is doing all of these things to them. And so we confess that Jesus, you are who you say you are. God, you are who you say you are. And we believe you. Okay? What else does Jesus say? So we have, you have to believe.
Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. You have to repent. Jesus says, I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish. You have to confess. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. And here's where we end up in the debating process. This last one is called baptism. And sadly, you hear more debate about baptism from people who have been in the church a long time. You don't necessarily hear about it from fresh people into the faith. You don't hear about it. You don't hear the scoffing. You don't hear the, is that really a thing? But Jesus said it, and I'm going to start with Mark 16:16. Everybody's red flags going up? Scripture giants? People that know the word? Why am I saying this about Mark 16:16? It's not in the what? It's not in the NIV. There is debate about Mark 16:16. Actually, it's 16 through 20-something, I think. That there is very few manuscripts that actually have this passage of Scripture in them. So let's not go to Mark 16:16. We'll just scrap that. It's garbage. Not really. Mark 16:16 says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Okay, so if that's a debated passage, let's throw it out, okay? Let's hear what Jesus has to say. Can we do that? Help me out. So we'll throw this debated passage out, even though it's good, even though it's valid, I think. Jesus says in Matthew 28:19-20, which is in the NIV, which is in Scripture, he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, Jesus. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So this thing about baptism existed before Jesus even came onto the scene. Did you guys know that? Baptism existed, and I was talking to Darby, who is a brilliant, geeky man. He was talking about baptism. There used to be, and he actually saw this when he went to Israel, underneath the temple, there was like these bathhouses that priests, there was like an in and an outdoor. And before they would go to the temple, and before these people would go to the temple, they would go through these bathhouses. They'd come in dirty, and they'd baptize themselves, and then they would come out clean before they went up into the temple. And so you see that version of baptism. You see a baptism, John. You guys remember John? Wore camel hair, had a beard, probably a good-looking dude, I assume. Ate locusts. So he was all natural. I'm sure they're gluten-free, for those of you that are concerned about that. John was baptizing people long before Jesus got onto the scene, and John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. A baptism of a change of mind. And Jesus enters the scene, and he gets baptized by John, actually. And the clouds part, and the dove descends, and God speaks and says, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. And so what is it about baptism? What is this thing, other than a tradition that used to be practiced in days of old? So you have this tradition that Jesus builds upon. You have this tradition of this cleaning, this cleansing, this transformational process. And so when I was baptized, I came out of the waters and went straight to pornography because I was so clean. in the process.
When I repented, everything changed and went my way. And I became a spiritual giant.
When I was baptized, everything just, it was like magic, man. Everything just went my way.
That's not what baptism is. Baptism is a representation of what Jesus did, this death that he died for us, this burial as he was laid in the tomb. So you die, you get laid down in the water, you're buried. You get propped back out of the water. You rose from the dead. You're back. There's scripture that talks about baptism being when you receive the Holy Spirit.
Now, let's debate that. Because do you get the baptism? Do you get the Holy Spirit before baptism or after baptism? In between? Right at?
What about Cornelius? What about the thief on the cross?
I'm just entering in all of these complex things that we want to grab as far as what salvation is or what salvation should be.
But I tell you, it's a simple plan for a complex people. You, me.
Jesus says, you need to believe, repent, confess, and be baptized.
Tell me which one of those four is more important.
Tell me which one of those four is the least important.
No, what? I'm getting confused. Yes, no.
The simplicity of what Jesus teaches us, the simplicity of what Scripture tells us, is that we need to believe in who God is. We need to have a change of mind. We need to repent for the things that we know that are outside of who Christ is. We need to confess Christ as we change, as we become who God asks us to be. There is no other thing that you can do but just talk about it. And you need to be baptized. Now, I'm not here to debate you whether sprinkling is the it, whether full immersion, quit laughing at me. Let me take another drink. I won't gargle this time. There's debate about all of those things as far as what baptism looks like. I was baptized as a child. I was these. I was this. I was that. I'm not here to debate you on that. If you feel that your story and what you had been done to you at whatever age stuck, and you're living out loud for Jesus, amen. You don't need to be dunked. You don't need a redo. Okay? Are you living out loud for Jesus?
Giddy up. Wyoming reference.
So let's quit making salvation this complex thing. We're not going to play a closing song that's real slow and emotional. So everybody comes forward and raises their hand. I believe what happened to me and my story, how Jesus found me without an emotional teaching, without an emotional song. I believe how God found Craig and Jesus found Craig listening to Adventures in Odyssey in his car.
I believe in how God found Kevin, God found Matt, God found Brianna, God found Rich, God found Bonnie, God found Sherry, God found Tanya.
I believe it can happen without all this emotion. Do you believe what God said in his word?
Are you having a change of mind about your current situation and who you say you are versus who God says you are? Are you willing to live a life out loud that says, yes, God is who he says he is, and you need to know who he is. You need to know what he's doing with inside of me. You need to know what he's doing in foreign lands. You need to know what he's doing here at Whitewater in the Griffin Theater. You need to know how he betters. I'm blessed as a pastor of this church for 6.5 years because I have seen some of you come in so hard-hearted. And I have seen a transformation in how you live your life. And it's not a transformation that you can do anything on your own. It's a transformation by what God does within you. And so I sit with you and I hear your story. I hear your confession of who God is. And I've seen what he's done within me. I've seen what he's done within my wife. And that is salvation. A very simple plan for very complex people. So if you're wondering this morning, if you're wondering, what do I got to do? That's it. Believe. Repent. Confess. And be baptized. Something you might not know is Whitewater has a horse tank. Side cop, you know, let's take a rabbit trail. Whitewater has a horse tank, and Whitewater fills that horse tank when anybody expresses the desire to be baptized. And so that's readily available to any of you. Okay? If you want that, if you desire that, if you want to follow what Christ teaches here in Scripture, come find us. Okay? Let us know. You don't have to do it in front of all these people. It's scary, I know. But what better way to confess? What better way to show who Jesus is? One of the hardest questions Jesus asked, or asked by Jesus, was found in Luke 6:46. Jesus says it this way. He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but it could not be shaken because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete." So the hardest question Jesus is asking you now is, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid a foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck the house, and it could not shake it because it was well built. So I think Jesus is asking that question of all of us today. You want to know what the salvation thing is? This very simple plan. Christ died for you to make you right with God. Christ died for you to make you right with God. Christ died. Now I'm getting emotional. We ought to play a song. And there was no other way to do that than what he did. And so you either accept it and you start living this transformed life, this beautiful life that Christ is calling you into, or you reject it. And my prayers, since I knew I was teaching this, was that you accept what Christ is doing within you. As you're searching, as you've come here wondering, who is God? What do I need to do? That's my prayer. that you say yes to this very simple plan. God, we love you. And we want to believe. God, we read these words and it's not a fairy tale. It's not just good morals. It's not just a mystical book. God, your words bring life. What you did brought ultimate life. How you restored us to what we should have been and what creation should have always been and opened the door for us to live with you. God, the salvation that you bring and the stories that are birthed out of our transformation from your salvation, the stories of who we once were and who we are becoming. God, only comes from you. And so this morning, as we are filled with a group of people who come from all walks of life, who come in these doors from every area, who come to the table at a different part in this salvation process. God, some may believe in you. God, some may need to believe in you. God, some may have already repented and continue to repent and have that change of mind. God, some need to repent and have that change of mind. God, some may confess you every day. God, some need to confess you today. God, some have already been baptized and some need to be baptized. God, I pray that us as a body, together, as a whole, as Whitewater Christian Church, begin to take you seriously and continue to take you seriously. That we don't just cry out, Lord, Lord, and not do anything that you've asked us to do and not do anything that we read in your scripture, God, but I pray for transformation as a body, as a whole, as we grow together, as we experience life together, as we experience Jesus together. So God, this simple plan of salvation, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. May it sink deep into our hearts. It's in your precious Son's name, Jesus, who died and made it possible for us to even come to you, to even be in right relationship with you, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Grace and peace, guys. Have a good week.